The 1999 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents Session 301, a devotional, O God, Where Art Thou? Mormon Psalms, with readers David Anderson, Albert Peck, and Julie Curtis.
Okay, welcome to this morning's devotional. We're going to be having some Mormon Psalms. Several of the sessions in the symposium try to get Mormons to appropriate into our tradition some of the Christian literary forms. We have the Creed and the Sermon in some of our other sessions. And here we take the Psalm, which is a written prayer. And Mormons don't like written prayers. But throughout Christianity and Judaism, they were many prayers were written as a form to aid in meditation and contemplation and worship, as a private and public form. And we call them psalms because we're comfortable with the word psalm because it's in the scripture. But we have three, maybe four people who will present their psalms. The first person will be David Anderson, who's an attorney from Salt Lake City. Then Julie Curtis, who is a research, what do I call you? She's an internet marketer. Oh, right, they're in the program. And Dennis Clark, who is the guru of Mormon poetry. So let's see where we go with those three people sharing their songs. So you guys speak into the mic so that the recording on.
I guess these all could loosely be called psalms because I've called them that. They are not all, as you'll hear, written prayers, though they might all be written meditations of some kind. And they range from the, I'm sorry to say, from the heavy to the light. And please bear with me. All psalms must end, so... And they're rather short, except the first one is a little longer. Okay. This is the Holocaust and Signs of the Times. Sorry to start with that. Forgive me, Lord, as I stumble backward to cover Father Noah's nakedness. He's drunk again, so I'll not make a sound, lest I wake him and we drown in verbs. But you must have seen them, Lord, through sand grains of the sea, almost past counting. Seed of Abraham and Sarah. Seen, skinny word for your presence, in all their intimate places, the salty womb, first step, first word, first kiss, joy and respite, first kindness, first blush. But all their roads wending to these gut-hungry receptacles, once place names, now place holders. Auschwitz and Treblinka. Turn away, struggling to a pyramid of flesh, clawing upward through the poisoned air, every upstart cry crushed level into bone, perfected black and white in the land of the Poles. Turn away. With these images branded on our frozen eyes, we cannot look up now in time to see the plashy morning star drop sheer from heaven, bang, Lucifer, unruly second child, expelled for once and all, story sealed and true. Looking up now is looking back. In time, we say, bang, catching the ancient light of speeding stars that melts behind the cornea, silently and without a family name. Forgive me, Lord, but no horror now can token your return. Others peer and curse askance at gangs and guns and restless sex, portents and time signs, signal moon turned gray with blood. I cannot escape to tell them, Lord, of the depth of your silence with words. Forgive me, Lord, as I stumble on without clothes or helpful cloth. Father Noah snores naked behind me still as the drunken clouds gather to no avail. But even at the veil, Mother Eve whispers with husky voice and slender tongue, I'm sorry, child, for the words you seek again in your young, most moist bones is hard, but let me give it to you, breast to breast, mouth to ear, child. It is Shoah. This is shorter. The world is filled with the glory of God, children running toward delight, robins hopping in pert silence after the rain fades, arms reaching down to greet the wave before it breaks. Surprised, we flee from your anointing, clad again in overcoats, hurrying away to make ourselves acceptable to those who sit at our elbow in dry judgment. Away with clothes, away with defenses, away with sanctimony and its conditional smile. What remains then? I am afraid to look, Lord. Lift my chin up, focus my eyes, fill my empty, fearful heart. Help me leap out, hookless, onto the spark, hovering just above your open, searching lips. Sometimes this was funny to me. The same dream comes, Lord, night after night. The train is leaving the station. Last call for the celestial kingdom, shouts Brother Brigham. I jostle forward to find my place, trying to be determined and polite. And just then, but I trip on his walking stick. And just then, before my nose strikes the neutral pavement, whirling as in a dance, he explains it all. Adam God and blood atonement and lying for polygamy and even the stunning mystery of male adoption. Wham! Even before I can reach for the handkerchief, I know he's right. How could I have been so willful stupid? It all makes perfect sense. And as I look up hand to nose, there inside the penultimate car, as Fanny Alger, eternal niece, waves from the caboose, he stands. Then, leaning forward, clouding the window with his exalted breath, he writes backward in perfect reformed Egyptian, too late. Then, cruelly, in Olmec King James, I told thee so. I struggle to my knees at the final station, smelling blood and diesel through the cloth. Lord, This is a kind of meditation, I guess. He floats in the eye of a silent storm, head tucked in the counselor's office. She asks him what he means. Has he told his family he is gay and not happy? He cannot speak. He shifts upon the chair and shifts again and is not there. Behind his injured eyes hovers a dark courtyard, smothered in moonlight. Flies lick crumbled plaster. Perfect marble columns, bleared along the ground, squirm in a heap. As through this silent wail of his dreams, between a cricket's chirp, kind Jesus stalks him with a dripping beard and dirk. And this is the this is the last one. And I've called this instead of Thanksgiving Psalm. This is called Thanks Rescinding Psalm. And I'll see if I can read it. Somebody better than I can read needs to read parts of this, but I'll give it a try. You could have given us a pleasant hollow world suspended from a golden chain, stars fused to crystal spheres like Christmas spangles, good child's delight. You could have made things somehow more suitably commensurate, SC. Yes, a politer, smaller bang, SB, perhaps, for starters. And you could have been more economical, UE. Less time for dinosaurs to romp, hominids to grope, trilobites to bite. Less space between the nucleus and its electron cloud, and less, so much less space between these macro-streaking galaxies, MSGs. Had you been less profligately prodigal, PP, we finally, with these worn-on-the-bone, straining fingertips, could have, in our lifetimes, reached out and brushed the brilliant, glossy edge of all that is. But you deny this to us, Lord. Praise you.
For my psalm, I guess did some background reading, read in particular some of David's psalms, and as I was reading, I realized how little in my own prayers and communion with God I go to the trouble to praise Him, and so that was the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed was, of course, if I was going to write a psalm and I wanted it to be a praise to God, that I would need to write it in my own language, not David's language. And so what I've written here is my own psalm, a psalm to my God in the language that we use in our communion. Dear God, you are fabulous. You hear me in my own voice, at my own times, in my own places. In the mornings, for example, as I drive to work, you listen to me gush about the glory of the mountains in the morning, drenched with dew and Maxfield Parish clouds. You come with me on evening hikes, and we admire the wildflowers together. I show you my favorites, and you tell me they are all your favorites, since, of course, you are God, and made each one a different reflection of your own image. At night, when your breathtaking cloak of constellations fills my eyes, you indulge me as I wish on a star. Every night I see one, you know, starlight, star bright. And you know that my wishes are the blessings I ask for, from you, the God of stars, to me, the daughter of earth. God, you hear my voice, Selah. Dear God, you are wondrous. You come to me when and how I need you, even when I forget to ask you. When loving arms seem far away and my parents' phone is busy, you come. You're sometimes mother, sometimes father, often both, when I need advice or reasoning talk or familial embrace or a parent's blessing. For a week of mourning after the death of a young friend, you did not turn away when I accused you of selfishness and neglect. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you let me struggle with the meaning of an arbitrary God and a heartless world. Then Thursday, you shook me awake to see a caring God in a whimsical world where only your love can make sense of things. Many times I've wept tears for not quite so many men as my tender heart learns about love, risk, and healing. Your unlooked-for love lessons carry me through these ups and downs. As you well know, I'm still working on a few of those lessons, but in matters of the heart, Lord, how well you serve. God, you come when I need you. Selah. Dear God, you are marvelous. You send me moments of abject joy to illuminate my path. When I close my eyes, laying back on a sun-warmed boulder, I can open my eyes and see a kindred spirit, a lizard, doing the same thing, on the same trail, in the same glorious red-orange desert you made to house both our souls. You raise up prophets like Bach and Verdi and Mozart and Bartok so that the voice of God might be discerned even by the least godly of ears. Biting into summertime fruits like strawberries and mangoes and honeydew and peaches makes me feel every inch alive and delicious and desirable. For an instant, you deliver me the very taste of divinity, the fruit of the tree of life, the vine of life, the strawberry patch of life. God, you grant me joy, Selah. Dear God, you are amazing. You call me by name and know me by soul and love me by heart. When I look in the mirror, in my room or my soul, I can sometimes glimpse the daughter you must see. You show me her glory, my glory, revealed in little bits or sometimes blindingly all at once for a moment. I know I am your child when I also glimpse you. At times these visions pale and I do not come to you willingly. Though I worship you, I struggle in this collaboration where you are by far the stronger presence. You are eternally patient as I learn to trust you truly with my hand, my path, my soul, my heart. In the scriptures you speak to me. You say, "Behold, thou art Julie and I am God." In this statement, you offer all the mysteries of life and the heavens. It is your answer to 1,000 questions I have not yet learned to ask, but it's also the key to 1,000 answers I have been seeking. God, you are the heart of my heart, the soul of my soul. Selah.
I'm afraid if there's any model for this poem in the Psalms, it's one of David's more somber ones, the ones where he cries out in his pain at being a sinner. It is called For Mother, and there are two epigrams. The first, certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked," which, of course, is said to Jesus as he teaches. The second, and both are from Luke, Christ himself says in his last saying before he is nailed to the cross, "For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck.'" And this ends with the last sentence in that last statement, which is not here. Bear with me. Where are the ears that first heard me draw breath, when all infinity listened for each child to cry out? Where are the eyes that laughed in a flood of joy, seeing that, like each child, I was born unlike any other? Where are the lips that sucked venom from my heel, the tongue that spat it back at the fertilance, the teeth that broke the spine of the serpent's helix while Father pushed the void away with his words? For I would praise the mother I have never seen. Where are the arms that cradled me at the breast, the hands that stroked my arms as I reached for the breast, the fingers that touched my cheeks so I would open my mouth and guided the nipple into my opened mouth, that I might feed upon the Milky Way, the wrist that curved the cupped hand round my heels, that in my kicking I not dislodge the stars, the heart that pumped her blood, though it were light, across the resistance of my earliest skin to warm me, bring the fire starter in, the womb that sheltered me when every part was potential, that tent? Where is it that held me against the vacuum, that cradled me in the bowels of mercy, sheltered, sanctioned the cleaving of sperm to egg, and called me from an infinitely distant point to the gravity well of her massive and brilliant charity, her love? Where is it, the womb that sheltered, the belly that bore me? For I would praise the mother who will not die. The buttocks that carried us upright against gravity, the thighs that kicked and stroked across the sea of stars, the feet that walked across the sands of Kolob where she held me, her knees flexed against the gales, into the wind of that springtime world, to fly away more like a seed than a hummingbird. Where are the heels that bore the weight of my leaving, while Father held back the demons in their dance? When you wept to fill the oceans of this world, was I not there, although you wept for me? When you sang the other beasts from slime to being, did I not shout for joy at their capering? Was I already past the veil when last you kissed me and whispered me, come home, when I could not hear, but only feel your breath caress my cheek, which burns as if betrayed by a recurved thorn? For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? What shall be done in the dry?
Thank you very much. Had a good sampling of different psalms, praise and discouragement and somberness is the word you used. Thank you very much for coming, and we'll begin the day.